The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the December 2024 issue of Southern Living magazine. This week, we'll hear from the following sections: The Grumpy Gardener and Our Big White Cake Three Ways. And maybe a little more if we've got time. All right. On the front cover of this issue is the background is a coffee-colored wall and a blurred fir tree, Christmas tree, with gold ornaments and little tiny gold lights and white tiny lights upon it. In the foreground is a table covered with a golden tablecloth, and upon that table is a glass cake pedestal that's reflecting the golden color of the tablecloth. And the base of the cake pedestal is strewn with some artificial pine branches. Just a bit of pine and some small pine cones are on that. Upon the cake pedestal is a three-layer white cake, white frosted cake with, it appears to be edible poinsettias. We'll find out probably today, but they are white poinsettias upon the cake and a couple of green leaves on the cake. And just to the right of that cake on the table are two champagne glasses that are filled with an apricot-colored liquid, beverage of some sort. And the printing on the cover, from top to bottom, Christmas Double Issue, Southern Living, Holiday Spirit, The Southern Way to Celebrate All Season Long. And along the bottom of the cover, The Power of Poinsettias, Show-Stuffing Cookie Recipes, Decorating Ideas for Every Room, plus Southerners of the Year. And listeners, we read the Southerners of the Year in our last broadcast on 12/13, which you can access as a podcast if you like. Okay, are we ready for the Grumpy Gardener? This starts off, we just began it last episode, with a cartoon, a small cartoon. It takes about a quarter of the page. And the cartoon has two very tall Christmas trees. And in the background, on either side, are five or six Christmas trees that are much smaller that are in the background. Two men are approaching the Christmas trees. We see just their backs, and one of them is carrying a chainsaw. They also have Santa hats on their heads. Now, listeners, on these two Christmas trees, there is one that has a sign attached to its trunk, just below where the branches start. And this sign says, "I'm flawed. Pick that one," with an arrow pointing to the other tree. And the caption of the cartoon is, "After many years, Seymour the Spruce's basic writing course finally paid off." Okay. All right. And we'll start now with the Grumpy Gardener. This is by Steve Bender. "Dear Grumpy, is it wrong to feel bad about cutting down a Christmas tree to decorate for a few short weeks? When I see those majestic spruces standing at the White House and Rockefeller Center in New York every year, I know they're at least 50 years old and must be absolutely shocked at how pitifully their dreams were cut short. Lift my spirits, Grumpy." Signed, Dale. In the response, "I know the feeling, Dale. I always wanted to be a roller skate repairman, but then Southern Living snatched me away in the dark of night to write about gardening. So much potential wasted. It is to weep. But I got over it, and you can too. One way is to purchase a pre-lit artificial tree. They're very lifelike. You buy them only once, and they don't drop a needle even if you leave them up until June. Next, so many seedlings. I had one large rose of Sharon in front of my garden. Then I took my eye off the ball due to travel. Now I have 12 huge Rose of Sharon plants growing in the middle of my rose bushes. What do you suggest to keep seedlings at bay? And that is signed, Kimberly. Older types of Rose of Sharon, and their Latin name is Hibiscus syriacus, are prolific seeders, as you have painfully discovered. You could reduce the number of new plants by cutting off the spent flowers before they set seed, but doing this to 12 plants every year would be extremely tedious. I'd remove the existing offenders. Newer varieties, such as Diana and the Satin series, capital S as in Satin, A-T-I-N. Diana and the Satin series produce few or no seeds. So if you still want a Rose of Sharon, try one of those. Scales of Injustice. Crepe myrtles line the street where we live in Raleigh, North Carolina. All of a sudden, white specks cover the bark. Are they crepe myrtle bark scales? And this is signed, Kristen. Unfortunately, yes. And these insects are a serious pest. They multiply rapidly and crust the bark, and feed on sap. Then they secrete a sticky honeydew that sooty mold grows on, and this turns the trunks and branches black. I've noticed that trees subjected to severe pruning, and in parentheses and quotes, it says crepe murder, seem more susceptible, probably because the cutting stresses them. Contact insecticides don't kill these scales. The best control is treating the crepe myrtles with a systemic insecticide that the plants absorb called Bio-Advanced Tree and Shrub Insect Killer Spray. Repeat the process every April according to label directions. And on the next page, at the top, it says, Ask the Grump. No question goes unanswered on his Facebook page, facebook.com/ S as in Southern, L, Grumpy Gardener. And continuing with our letters, Pounding Sand. We live in Little Rock. Our front yard is sloped and steady, so grass struggles to grow. We've laid sod several times, but it never lasts more than a couple of years. Signed, Michelle. No grass will grow in the shade, Michelle. Why don't you try what my neighbor successfully did in a similar situation? First, they got rid of the remaining grass and covered their hill with a thick layer of pine straw mulch that they replenish each spring. Hardwood and pine bark mulch work well, too. Then, they spaced out a number of low-growing shishigashira camellias across the slope. These shrubs feature glossy evergreen foliage and deep pink flowers in autumn. Now that area looks tidy and never needs mowing. Power Company Pruning. We live in a small rural town in southern Illinois. A large and very old oak tree grows in our yard, and we love it. The electric company wants to cut some of the longer limbs to make way for a new line. We're terrified of damaging this beauty. Signed, Kathy. Grumpy feels your pain. The power company has used its chainsaws in my yard, too. My advice when dealing with the workers is to avoid confrontation. And in parentheses it says, imagine me saying that. Request to be there when they cut. Tell the crew chief how much the oak means to you and ask them to please do the trimming as aesthetically as possible. Tree crews aren't used to friendly homeowners and will likely respond in a positive way. Good luck. And now we have Grumpy's Gripe of the Month. Pansies are supposed to be the magical answer to our yearning for winter color in the South. Frost-hardy and preferring cool temperatures, they supply bounteous blooms and multitudinous colors in containers and flower beds from the time you plant them in fall all the way through spring. They're supposed to, anyway, just not in my Alabama garden. They look fab at first, but inevitably an Arctic blast following mild weather turns them into pansy mush by January. They don't revive until spring, 2 weeks before it's time to rip them out for summer flowers. So no pansies for me this year. Insert angry emoji, parenthetically. I'll get my mush from a sled dog. All right. I would try them anyway, listeners. They do well in my North Carolinian containers, pansies. And they seem to die in the winter frost. They look as though they're dead, and then they do perk up when it gets warm enough, which I suppose it does not in Grumpy's neighborhood. All right. And finally, cast iron plant. Looking for a gift for a brown-thumbed gardener? This is the one to pick. Many houseplants that are given as holiday presents go through three quick stages: living, dying, and dead. Here's a tough one that will actually last. The aptly named cast iron plant, and in parentheses, that's Aspidistra elatior. Although it doesn't ask for abuse and fares better when treated well, it tolerates low light, infrequent watering, and lack of attention. Upright, arching, spear-shaped leaves with distinctive parallel veins grow 1 to 3 feet tall. For the best results, give it well-drained potting soil, bright indirect light, and slow-release organic fertilizer in the spring. Allow the soil to go dry between waterings. A showy selection called Variegata sports foliage striped with white from base to tip. And that is signed Steve Bender, also known as the Grumpy Gardener. Moving on to the kitchen. And that big white cake that we talked about on the cover of the magazine. This begins with a full page, and it has a pink background. It's a table with a kind of a folded, a pink tablecloth that has some folds in it upon the table. And there's also a glass of champagne in the background. It appears to be champagne. It's the top of it is covered with bubbles, and the stem of it reflects the pink color of the tablecloth at the base. But the stem also has some golden and pink, alternating golden and pink bars up the stem. And just before it is a smaller little Christmas tree ornament. It's actually a Christmas tree. Appears to be made of clay. Also in the background are a couple of others, one white and one green in the upper left-hand corner, back in the corner. In the foreground is, of course, a cake pedestal, a glass cake pedestal, and our lovely white frosted three-layer cake upon it with its white poinsettias and golden beads and berries in the center and green leaves. And also in the foreground, at the bottom right-hand corner, is a red Christmas ball with a red ribbon tied to the top of it for inserting into the tree. And it seems to be reflecting a tiny little house of a Christmas ornament. The print from top to bottom. Southern cooking at its best. the kitchen. White poinsettia layer cake with cranberry orange filling. Celebrate. On the bottom it says, share the love. This delicious yet doable dessert can be made three different ways. And listeners, this page folds half of it, folds out. To an advertisement for Kerrygold butter. Okay. Which we may use when we bake this cake, as we will see. So, to get started, here's a bit about this delicious cake. Delicious looking cake, anyway. At the top of the page, the header is Celebrate. The big white cake, as it's referred to around the Southern Living office, is a huge deal to us each year. The dreamy desserts that have graced every December cover since 1995 involve dozens of meetings, months of planning, and a village of creative folks. Those are recipe developers and testers, photographers, prop and food stylists, and a team of designers and editors, just to name a few, to bring them to life. But one person deserves extra gifts from Santa this year. Senior Test Kitchen recipe developer, Tricia Manzanero, Studeman. She collected all of our varied ideas and hopes and transformed them into an elegant cake that's simple enough for any baker to pull off. This project basically lived in my mind rent-free for months, Tricia recalls. My husband and I would go for walks at night, and all I would talk about was the big white cake. This year's showstopper had an additional twist. We wanted a recipe that would allow our readers to use the same components to make a layer cake, cupcakes, or a sheet cake. It took a lot of math to figure that out, Tricia says with a laugh. In the end, I was able to make it work with no waste. I'm pretty proud of that. After she got the brown butter cake just right and perfected the sweet tart cranberry filling, she turned to the frosting, which is made with fluffy whipped cream and a secret ingredient, a box of white chocolate pudding mix. The pudding stabilizes the whipped cream, so it spreads and pipes like a dream, she says. It can be made 2 days ahead and refrigerated. It's kind of awesome. No cover cake would be complete without a topper, and our candy poinsettias are amazingly easy. I don't consider myself a white chocolate savant by any means, Tricia admits. If I can do it, anyone can. And you don't have to tackle them by yourself. Invite a buddy over to help, and then catch up over a cup of coffee. Share the work and share the love, she says. And that was just one column of print, and the rest of the page starts a photo that extends to the following page as we hold the magazine open. And the photo has a background of a teal-colored wall with snowflakes, well, stylized snowflakes, I'll say. They have white dots with rays of gold and white extending from them. And they're all over the wall. In the foreground is the table covered with a pink tablecloth. And upon the table in the center are three candles, two reds and a green in the center. The red one red is in a pink candle holder, and it's cone-shaped. The one in the center, the green one, is in a golden candle holder. And it is, the top of it is bleeding off the top of the picture, so we don't see it. And the other red candle is in a small golden candle holder. The two red ones are lit. To the left of the page, in the foreground, we have our big white cake. But a slice has been cut so that we can smell the golden butter cake and the cranberry, maybe the orange cranberry filling in between the layers. And it's on a glass pedestal plate, cake plate. And just before that is a light green or teal colored to match that wall in the background serving plate. And upon it is that big, luscious slice that was just cut from the cake above. And there's a fork. It's a golden fork with a cranberry colored stem or holder. Handle. And that scent matches the cranberry filling we've got that we'll hear about later in this butter cake. There are three small of those little Christmas trees, our little ornaments, two green and one white. Over on our next page, we've got those tiered golden. It's a golden plate, and it's tiered. It's got three plates, largest on the top, medium in the center, and a smaller one. Sorry, largest on the bottom, medium in the center, and a smaller one on the top. And it's filled with these cupcakes. They're golden cupcakes with white, little mounds of white frosting on them. And those gold, they're called dragées, D-R-A-G-E-E. I call them berries, the gold centers, what's in the center of poinsettias. And they have, they do have one or two leaves of a white poinsettia on them, too. And in the foreground is a stack of serving plates, and there's one cupcake on the plate. And a few more of those golden forks with the cranberry-colored handles. And that Christmas ornament, the cranberry-colored Christmas ornament with the cranberry-colored ribbon that was on the page before. And the print on this photo says, white poinsettia cupcakes with cranberry orange filling. And over on the next page, we have a full-page photo that bleeds onto just about one half of the following page, where the recipes start. And in this photo is just another angle of the previous table we saw. The background, again, teal with stylized white and gold snowflakes. And on the table, in the background, is about half of that golden tiered plate with the cupcakes and two of those little ornamental Christmas trees, one white, one green. Just about the bottom half of one red candle and a golden candle holder. Also in the background is you can just see the top of a bottle of champagne as it is being poured into a champagne glass that looks just about full. And on the table, again, pink tablecloth, and we have our little ornament, our maroon-colored Christmas ball with the ribbon, maroon-colored ribbon on it in the foreground. And we've got, the main event is a sheet cake. It's on a green plate, flat plate. And the green one, it looks to be a blurred pines on the green cake. And it is a sheet cake with white frosting and our white poinsettias with the gold berries or dragées on them and a couple of green leaves. And there's also one piece of the cake, the sheet cake, is cut. Two pieces are cut. One is left on that serving plate, and the other corner piece with the white frosting is a little piece that's on a cake plate, a small cake plate, with our gold fork and maroon-colored handle. All right, here we go. We'll start our recipes. White poinsettia layer cake with cranberry orange filling. All right, so it's the layer cake first. This beauty is the sum of several thoughtfully composed parts. Fortified with white chocolate pudding, the whipped cream frosting surrounds brown butter-infused cake layers. Crimson cranberry filling is like an unexpected gift bringing just the right amount of brightness. The active time is 45 minutes, and the total to prepare this cake is 1 hour and 15 minutes. It serves 12. Ingredients: brown butter cake, and the recipe for that is a little later on in this article. Whipped cream frosting, and the recipe for that too is going to be given to us. And they say to divide that. Cranberry orange filling, and that recipe is coming as well. White chocolate candy leaves, you got it, recipe coming. Gold dragées, and those are the little berries that are in the center of the poinsettias, and fresh bay leaves. Okay, so that's what composes this three-layer white cake. Step one, prepare brown butter cake as directed. Using a serrated knife, trim domed tops off cake layers. Discard trimmings. Remove and discard parchment paper. 2. Place one cake layer on a serving plate, trimmed side up. Spread 1/4 cup of the frosting evenly over the top. Spoon 1 1/4 cups of the frosting into a piping bag or Ziploc plastic bag and cut a 1/2-inch hole in the tip or corner. Pipe a 1/2-inch tail border of frosting around the edge of the cake. Spread 1/2 of the filling, about 3/4 cup, evenly within border. Repeat layers once. Set aside the frosting in the piping bag. Top with remaining cake layer cut side down. Spread a very thin layer of frosting over top and sides of cake to form a crumb coat. Chill, uncovered, for 30 minutes. Step 3. Spread the remaining frosting in bowl or container over the top and sides of the cake using an offset spatula. Using reserved piping bag, pipe 2 small mounds of frosting on top of cake, about 6 inches apart, to serve as bases for the poinsettias. Tuck candy leaves into mounds in a star shape, layering leaves as desired and piping additional frosting on backs of leaves as needed. Pipe a small dot of frosting in the center of each poinsettia. Arrange the gold dragées in the centers. Tuck in fresh bay leaves as desired. And that, listeners, is all our time for today. We'll have to continue this next week. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Southern Living. And we hope that you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. So long until next time.